One sec. This begins our series on Hilchot Tefillah. And I was going to start with Potech et Yadecha, but a quarantine and a few other things kind of knocked that down. So we're going to start with Birkut HaShachar, which makes more sense anyway, with starting the day, making sure you do it the right way. Birkut HaShachar is in Siman Mem Vav in Or HaChaim. Rabbi Matt, if you wanted to follow along, we'll probably be quoting. We don't need one, but you certainly could have one. You certainly could have one. I will definitely be quoting liner here, line there, unless you want to go more inside. Since Siman Mem Vav in Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph of Or HaChaim, Birkut HaShachar is very interesting, and I want to read the Gemara with you guys. You are always allowed to ask questions, Chaim. In fact, we ask a lot of questions in this Chavura. It's a Chavura, not a Shir. You should feel comfortable, you know, take off your shoes, lie back. You can definitely ask questions. If you want to take off your hat, you can take off your hat. I'm not saying don't be formal. I'm just saying if you want to be informal, you can be informal.
Thank you. I didn't know because of the recording, you know?
Oh, no, you can definitely ask questions. I record it for the guys who want it outside. Sometimes I post them online, sometimes I don't. Depends how much time I have and what I said. Sometimes I don't have time to edit out a bad line, so I don't. But I either upload and I don't care, I don't upload at all. All depends on a few factors. But anyway, I want to start off by going through what is Birkut HaShachar? Why do we say Birkut HaShachar? What's really the purpose of it all? And there are some important halachot and minhagim I want to highlight at various junctures of different parts of Tefillah throughout this series, hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem. Some of them are halachot that you know, but maybe adding a few layers of understanding, and others are halachot that you might not even be aware of at all. And therefore, it's very incumbent upon us to be fluent and familiar with them altogether, Be'ezrat Hashem. So let's get started. The Gemara in Berachot really is the source for Birkut HaShachar, right? Birkut HaShachar means we get up every single morning. After we say Asher Yatzar, we wash our hands and Tzal Yadayim. We say Hanoten L'Sachvi V'Ina L'Avchim Ben Yom V'Ein Laila, Pokeach Ivrim, Matir Asurim, etc. All of those Berachot followed by Birkut HaTorah are known as Birkut HaShachar. And Birkut HaShachar are quite important, because if we want to, well, they're quite important for the following reason. The Gemara Chachamim instituted a special takana that every single day we should recite 100 berachot. The problem is that there just aren't enough berachot in the day to actually fulfill that. So the Chachamim made it easier for us. They gave us a lot more berachot to say than we actually needed, and that way we can get 100 berachot more easily. And that is through Birkut HaShachar, 15 or so berachot that we have every single morning. That is the opinion of the tour. And the nature of the berachot, as much as they are a filler for the day, is actually very interesting. I want to read the Gemara with you and show you where that goes. The Gemara says in Masechet Berachot, on Daf Samich, I lost the spot. Oh, that stinks. Oh, well. On Daf Samich, I would bet, really. Samich, I would bet. Here we go. Gemara says, when a person goes to sleep at night, Tanichnas Lisha Amitato, Omer Mishema Yisrael Ad V'Hayayim Shema, I should say, Kriyat Shema Shal Hamita, Velmer Baruch Hamapil Chevle Shein Al Einai, I should say, Birkat Hamapil. Good. We don't have to focus on that. I want to just show you the order of operations. When you go to sleep, you say Hamapio. Now, when you wake up, Ki Mite'ar, when your person wakes up, what do you do? Omer Elohai Neshama, Shenatata Bi Tehora. We say this every morning, right? Elohai Neshama. And then we go further. After that, we say, when you finish that, Baruch Ata Hashem, Achzir Neshama Tfkari Metim. And then the Gemara says, very interestingly, this was when you wake up in the morning. Now watch what happens. Kishama kol tarnegola. When a person hears the sound of a rooster, you hear a rooster crowing. Lema, you should say, Baruch asher natan nesechvi v'ina Avchin ben yom uvein laila. Thank Hashem for giving the rooster the understanding of distinguish between night and day in order to properly and appropriately, you know, designate that bifurcation, that distinction with his crowing.
Next. Right. Let's say we're walking in a petting zoo and you hear a rooster crow. You would say that?
Oh.
You would say the bracha?
We'll see. We'll see. That's exactly the question here. What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is going to give us a whole list of things. When you do X, when you do Y, what does that mean? Let's read a little bit further, and then we're going to spend a lot of time on that. Ki patach einei, when you open your eyes. Lema baruch pokeh irim, who he gives sight to the blind. Ki taritz viati, when you sit up. Lema baruch matir asurim, Hashem who unbound the captives. I was bound to my bed before, now I can move. Baruch Hashem. Ki lavish, and put you on your clothes. Baruch malbish arumim. They used to sleep without clothes on. You say you put on your clothes. You Hashem who clothed the naked. He's akif. When a person stands up. Baruch zokif kifufim. Etc. Etc. Rokah haaretz amayim. When you stand on the ground. When you walk, you say amechi mitzade gaver. The Gemara says, when you put on your shoes, you say sha'asali kol tzorki. Ki asar hem yane, when you put on your belt. You better wear a gartel when you daven that. You don't wear a gartel? Not yet. That's when your son turns six. No problem.
A lot other places need to be wrapped around before the
bed. Oh, good answer. Good answer. Okay. Fine. So anyway, I'm just teasing. Anyway, when you say kipari sudra reshe, when you put the hat on your head, you see the hat came after the gartel in the Gemara. Baruch oter yisav tifara. You say, oh, Hashem who put a crown on us.
All right. Either the hat or a turban. You got to pick one.
I'll take the turban.
Okay.
I think it looks cooler. Yes. My great-great-great-grandfather, I believe, was a doctor in Esfahan, in Kashan, and he wore a turban. So maybe I should wear a turban too. I think there's some miraculous story with him saving the Shoah's daughter also, but I don't know. I have to go ask my grandmother about it again. Okay, the Seder. So I think he was like, Chacham, Mola, whatever. Ezar Hashem. Good. Ki me'atef etzitzit. You put on your tzitzit. Le'itatef etzitzit. Ki manach etzitzfilin, etc. The list goes on. Those are all known. And then, by the way, Baruch Atah Hashem, when you wash your hands, al nitilat yadayim. Etc. Etc. The list goes on. This is basically our sidur in the mornings. This is the Gemara in Masechet Berachot. Mm-hmm. Now I ask you a very simple question. It's really what Matt asked. I don't know about Great Neck, but I woke up last night and this morning in Washington Heights and I did not hear a rooster crying. Should I have said this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Rabbi Makarevse knows. The answer is yes. Is that really true? Is that really true? Well, Tosfot says that bracha is exceptional, because it's more about the bina itself. The bina is always there. Okay, fine. But what happens if I'm not wearing leather shoes? Should I still say Sha'asali Kol Tzarki? What if I'm not wearing a belt? Do I say Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura? What happens if a person can't see, chas v'shalom? Does he still say pokeach ivrim? All these berachot, we say them every single morning, but did we ever stop to think that maybe we shouldn't be saying them? Anyone ever notice that?
If a person is sick and he doesn't want to leave the house, you would still say all those, even though he's not putting on shoes. It's because he has the ability to do so, so you would.
So Eliyasi says, it's about what this thing called minhago shel olam, the ability to do so. The fact that this is built into nature, that these things happen. These things are possible, and it's all thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's pretty, pretty awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clear. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Albert Saloni, Rav Yehuda of Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Rav Yehuda Albert Saloni is of that opinion. That's the opinion of the Ran. That's the opinion of the Arizal. Now, let me tell you something very important. Not everybody thinks that way. You know who doesn't think that way? The Rambam. Says the Rambam. Let's read this carefully. Kishachoger chagro. This is in Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. When you put on your belt, Mevarach Ozer Yisabik Vura. Kishalovesh Ne'alav, you put on your shoes, Mevarach Shasita Likol Tzarki, different gear salad, whatever. Kishamahalech, let's say, let derech, you want to go on your way, Mechim Yitzav Yigaber. And the list goes on, right? Now, let's give to Halacha Zayin. Let's read Halacha Zayin together. Shemona Esrei Berachot Elu. These 18 Berachot. Ein Lahem Seder. There is no order to these Berachot. Allah mivarech kol achat mehen al davar shabracha bishvilo bishato. You recite the bracha on each of them as appropriate. Harei shachagar chagorov hu b'alamitato mivarech ozer yisabikvura. You put on your belt before you get out of bed. So then you should say, at that point, ozer yisrael bikvura. Shamach ol tarnik hatarnikol. When you hear the rooster crow, mivarech hanoten lesach vivina. And if you have a bracha that you did not experience the phenomenon on which one in which this bracha is recited, then you should not recite the bracha. Simple as that, says the Rambam. Ketzad, what's the case? Lan michsuto, eino mevarech. You wore your clothes at night, and why are you saying malbish arumim? You were already clothed. Halach yachaf and a marach shasit ali kol tzarki. If you already were, you're not wearing shoes, then you shouldn't say shasit ali kol tzarki. And he said, "It's Yom Kippur, it's Shabbat. You shouldn't do taliyah. You're not doing your taliyah dying, so you shouldn't say marach yadishena, etc. You need to go to the bathroom. You don't say asher yatzar. It's all the same, right? That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. The Rambam takes the Gemara so literally, and you know what? It makes a lot of sense." It makes a lot of sense, right? The Gemara said, when you do this thing, when you do that thing, when you wake up, you do this. When you hear that, you do the other thing. It's really miforash in the Gemara that this is the case. Where does our practice come from? And you know what's even worse? If you open your Shulchan Aruch to Siman Mem Vav in Orach Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch almost copies and pastes the Rambam. In Halacha Aleph, he tells you all the Berachot. And then, in Se'if, where is it? Se'if Chet, he says like this, in Orachayim, in Se'if, in Mem Vav, Se'if Chet, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol HaBerachot Ha'elu, Im Lo Nitzchayet Ba'achad Ehen, any of these Berachot, if you did not become obligated in them. You didn't hear, you didn't experience whatever. You should not recite Hashem's name when you say the bracha. This is unbelievable. Where is this coming from? How can we all be ignoring this Shulchan Aruch every single day? The Rambam, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe we have other opinions to rely on. The Shulchan Aruch, seriously? How can it be that we are not being careful about this Shulchan Aruch? Unless you guys have roosters in your backyards. I don't know. But I haven't been in Shaar Rachamim in 3 months or so. I've been teaching Shaar Rachamim in 3 months. But this is pretty crazy. So I want to show you another amazing Rambam. Another amazing Rambam. Says the Rambam, Nehagu ha'am b'rov areinu. That the Rambam says what he says, but the fact is nobody followed the Rambam. The minhag is in shul, everybody gets together, they say all the berachot, beautiful in shul. Whether they became obligated to them or not. Wow, the Rambam is saying that they didn't do like he did in Spain. That's pretty crazy. It's a mistake. It's a mistake, says the Rambam. They ain't Ra'ui La'asot Ken. You shouldn't do this. Should never recite a beracha unless you are obligated, man. The Rambam thinks beracha levatala. That's crazy. He thinks, but he admits, he's honest. And this is not the custom. The custom is not like the Rambam. So where does this custom come from? I told you it's Rav Yehuda Bar Salonim. It's the Ran. It's also the Arizal. It's also the Arizal. There are many Rishonim who say, like Rabbi Eliassi said, that it's not a bracha on experience. It's not a bracha on experience at all. It's a bracha on nature. It's a bracha on the reality of the world, on minhago shel olam. And minhago shel olam is enough for us to recite the beracha every single day, every morning when we wake up. And that's enough for us. And that's enough for us. So the problem is the Shulchan Aruch. We don't follow the Shulchan Aruch? Kidding me? The Arizal, okay, the Arizal, it's Safik Brachot HaKel. Right? So some say, I think the Chida says, that the Arizal came up with this towards the end of the Shulchan Aruch's life, so he never realized this. But had he heard what the Arizal had to say, Rav Yosef Karo would have retracted his opinion and followed the Arizal. And therefore we also follow the Arizal. That's one interpretation. That the Shulchan Aruch could have also followed the Arizal.
Rabbi, how is that possible?
And what?
That there was a discrepancy in communication between the Arizal and Rabbi Yosef Karo.
Well, the Arizal.
They lived in Svat during the same time. They were Choshevans. I think one married the other one's child.
Right. So the Arizal died already, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah.
He died
in 1839, yeah.
39, okay, fine, my mistake. One of them died first, and then the other one didn't hear it? Something like that, I think.
You said 38? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I don't remember anymore. 38, 39, 33, Mashuka said, it's 30s even. So, it wasn't that there was miscommunication, it's just that this communication never happened. It was lost, and then, or whatever. That's what the Chida postulates. And the Rav Avadia says, no, what are you talking about? It's not that Maran would have been Choserbo for the Kabbalah. No way. The minag is not like Maran. One of Rav Avadia's klalim is that, like the Beit Yosef says in his introduction, he's not here to uproot existing minhagim. He's only here to help establish new ones, or establish new halachot. If the community has an existing minhag, this is what they do, then they can follow that. And we don't say safik brachu lahakel against the minhag. And this minhag, even the Rambam admits, was from back in his day. And therefore, we feel comfortable following the Rambam all the way. No, not the Rambam all the way, the other minhag all the way, like the Arizal and like others, not because of Kabbalah, simply because that was our minhag to do so. And while we're on this Rambam, the Rambam did note that people usually get together in shul. They usually get together in shul and they recite all the brachot together, right? So some people...
Only if they're Ashkenazi.
So some people are under the impression that the Ashkenazi way is the way it has to be. I'm not that old, but my few years davening in different places, whether they be in Long Island, in Los Angeles, in other places, in Israel, in America, in Manhattan, whatever, my few years davening in different places has given me this impression that everybody thinks, many people think, that the place to recite Birkot HaShachar is in shul. And Birkot HaTorah in shul. And it's so bewildering. And like, I can't fathom a person wakes up in the morning and he's going to get ready for his day and he's not going to learn Torah for 5 minutes. You need to say Birkot HaTorah if you want to learn Torah for 5 minutes. Right. And what are you doing at home? You're davening already? So how can you daven until you say Birkot HaShachar and Birkot HaTorah? Those things come first.
I mean, Harav, in their defense, they're in a rush to get to shul.
In a rush to get to shul, but it's like, how much time are you setting aside every single day to get to shul? A person is waking up late every single day. That's a big problem. But like some people, like, they don't never think that, like, maybe I should start, like, if I'm going to drive, let me, like, you know, I'm going to get a ride or to get on the bus to go to school. Let me say Birkot HaTorah now. There's so many kids who used to walk into Hank every single day.
Is it reasonable to say it while you're actually physically walking?
Yeah. Chacham Avadia did exactly that. On his way to shul, Chacham Avadia used to say Birkot HaShachar. And when I was in Shalvim, the Rosh Kollel, every single morning, he would walk in his tefillin from his house to the yeshiva every single day. And I would see him saying, Birkot HaShachar.
You can put on your talit and tefillin before you say Birkat HaShachar?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, one of them is for tefillin. Of course, you hold Oteri Sova Tifar is about tefillin, not about a hat. It's about
tefillin. But tefillin is only said 6 days. It's only worn 6 days a week.
That's true.
Birkat HaShachar is said 7 days a week. You can't do what's less often more than for what's more often.
It's a very good kasha. Okay. Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. I hear. That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that question. It's a good question. But
sorry.
It depends on the list. The Gemara put tefillin and tzitzit after the berachot.
Right.
I think that the Rambam put it before. So after Ayin Sham, Shulchan Aruch I think also puts it before. We'll have to look at that later.
Wait, I didn't understand, Matt. What's tadir and what's eno tadir?
Tefillin is 6 days a week. You don't put on Shabbat, but you say Birkat HaShachar 7 days a week. So therefore, you would not put on your tefillin before you, because one is 6 days, the other one 7 days. The one with 7 days will precede the one with 6 days.
Right.
That's
why talit is before tefillin.
I know. But isn't it normal to say Birkat HaShachar before putting on tefillin?
I asked the rabbi. He said that he knows rabbis that wore their tefillin. And they would walk with their tefillin to shul, and they would say Birkat HaShachar.
Oh, yeah.
So I asked, how is that possible?
Okay. Good question for them. I would think that it's not a contradiction, but I hear your point also.
The Ashkenazi rabbi that you mentioned?
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense.
But, okay, so go ahead. Okay, I'm not even saying put on your tefillin first. I'm saying say them at home. I grew up, Baruch Hashem, every single morning, my father went to an early minyan, and I very vividly remember seeing my father learning a little bit in the morning, and then saying all of Korbanot in the morning, including Birkat HaShachar before he went to shul. I think it's the right idea, and later on I found out that that's exactly what Rav Soloveitchik used to do, and then in last month I saw the Chidas says explicitly, wake up in the morning, what are you waiting for? Say Birkat HaShachar.
Right.
What are you waiting for? There's no need to delay it. You should say it right away. Now.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Question. Normally, my morning routine is that I wake up, I, you know, nitzayadayim, everything, whatever, get dressed. I come downstairs. I put on my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go do nitzayadayim and say bracha, and I start my Birkat HaShachar. Basically, I start my Birkat HaShachar.
Fine.
Do I have to do a double nitzayadayim because I touched my shoes beforehand? What I have to wash? And
you wouldn't say the bracha twice.
No, not saying the bracha twice. Washing. Would I have to wash twice? Because like I've sort of been doing, try to do. Kill two birds with one stone, and I put on my shoes, and I do an itzayadayim, and then make the bracha right after. But is that the right thing to do?
Saying because you're not doing itzayadayim the moment you wake up.
No, I do it when I wake up. I get dressed. I come downstairs. My shoes are by the door. I put on my shoes, and I go and I do an itzayadayim with my whole Birkat HaShachar all together right after I put on my shoes, and then I leave the house.
So what's the question?
The Benish Chai says what you're doing.
So I'm saying, do I wash my hands twice? One for touching my shoes, and then one for making the bracha for Birkat HaShachar. That's my question.
You mean you have a cup, and the question is
meaning I just touched my shoes. I put on my shoes.
Yeah.
And I went and I did nitzayadayim.
Right.
And then I make the bracha. Do I have to wash twice, meaning one for the bracha of Birkat HaShachar and one for touching my shoe?
It's all the same, yeah.
All the same. No need to wash twice.
Arya, you wake up. You wash. What? You wake up, you say Modani, you wash with a bracha?
No, I don't wash with a bracha. I just wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wash, and then I come downstairs, put on my shoes, and because I put on my shoes, you have to wash your hands after you put on your shoes. So I go to wash, but I sort of kill two birds with one stone by washing to clean my hands, but then also I'm washing to make the bracha for Birkat HaShachar.
Good.
That's fine?
Sounds fine with me. I'm not holding in the Netilat Yadayim point of should you be saying the bracha the second time or the first time. That's the machloket.
I'm
not going to get involved in that machloket.
Rav Avadia does that.
Rav Avadia says
he does order. He washes without a bracha, and he uses the bathroom, and then he carries on, and then he washes again with a bracha. No,
I thought there was only one time with the bracha. The first time,
he doesn't say the bracha the first time.
Then he wouldn't wash. That's what I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. But
whatever you heard is right. I thought I heard something in passing from Rabbi Elbas.
So you should follow. Other than what I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, get involved on the topic.
What did he say? What did he say?
There's a big machloket. Many, many, many mikubalim, the Chida, the Ben Ishchai, others are very adamant that the moment a person wakes up, as soon as he can, without walking that far, a person should wash his hands. Right?
Yeah.
And the problem is, what happens if you have to go to the bathroom, as many of us do when we wake up in the morning, many days of the year? So what you do is you don't say a bracha, because how can you say a bracha when you have to go to the bathroom? So go to the bathroom, come out, wash again, and say a bracha. Rav Avadia held that might be a bracha levatala, the second one. Bracha on the second one. Because according to the Rambam, you already yotzei, you're in a tzidat yadayim, so the second one you're not chayavin, so how can you recite a bracha on it? You should really do it the first time. So what should you do? Don't wash the first time if you have to go to the bathroom. Go wake up, get dressed, go to the bathroom, do everything you need to do, go to the kitchen sink, wash your hands, say everything. That's what I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. I don't know the sugya of Nitya Yadayim in the mornings. I know there's different opinions. And even as far as when you get to shul, wash your Nitya Yadayim there and say bracha, that would also be fine.
I think I heard what you just said, actually.
Okay, fine. Great.
Yeah. Now that you said it, that's exactly what I think I heard.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago.
Okay, good. I went Cholamoy Sukkot 10 years ago, 9 years ago. I had the zechut of going to Rav Avadia's house, but Rav Avadia wasn't feeling well. He didn't come to give the shir. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef gave the first shir, and then he just kept looking at his watch, and his father kept not coming. So he kept going, gave us a double shir. So this was part of that double shir that I heard him give over. Fine. Now, I want to discuss for the remainder of the time. Now, what I'm saying right now is really very nice, but there's three brachot it doesn't seem to apply to. Right? Every single morning, we say three berachot, shelo asani, goy, eved, and isha. And every single morning, we get up and we do that, but how often is it really happening? How many times were you not created as a goy? That you have to recite the beracha every single morning. It's really strange how this beracha is a daily thing. In fact, it wasn't even in the list we mentioned. This beracha is in a totally different sugya. It's in the Gemara in Minachot. Not in that sugya in Berachot. It's a totally different thing. And it's funny how we say it every single day. Really, it should be something you do at your bar mitzvah. And that would be a real nice bar mitzvah celebration, right? Everyone gets really excited for Baruch Shepitarani Mi'on Shoshel Zeh. They should also get excited for this. The Bar Mitzvah boy is going to say the brachas. Shalasani Goy, Shalasani Aved, Shalasani Isha. That should be the best thing. And yet that's not what happens. We do this every single day. So I found a number of interesting points that I wanted to share with you of why is this so. Why do we say these berachot every single day? First of all, why are there three of them? What's the point of these three berachot? The Taz is a famous interpretation. That we're going up in levels. We're thanking Hashem that we're created with the Kedusha of a Jew and not with nothing like a Goy. That's Shalasani Goy. But there is another step between the Jew and the Goy. It's an Eved. An Eved has Kedusha, sort of, and he has mitzvot like a woman. But not full Kedusha. He still needs to have a tzvila to make him a Jew. So, okay, Shalasani Eved. I'm not even that. I got more than that. The next level is an Isha. And Isha has mitzvah like a woman and Kedusha like any Jew. But she doesn't have the other mitzvot and she doesn't have Talmud Torah, which is one of those mitzvot. So we say, Shalosani Isha. I got even more than that. A big beracha. Hashem gave me the opportunity. He put me in a position to do even more. Wonderful. That's why we say all three berachot. It's not chas v'shalom putting down women. Women can't say all three of them. They can only say two. Shelo asani goya and shelo asani shefcha. And they say that with Hashem's name. And they say shasani kirtzono. Hashem made me the way He wanted me. We can talk about whether or not that's actually a beracha or not. You don't say Hashem's name there. Maybe we won't have time to talk about it today. Fine.
You're not going to talk about it.
Okay, fine. So we'll talk about that maybe next time, Bezat Hashem, or we'll move into other davening topics next.
But just on that, so if it's basically going up on levels, I might have heard, I think this is from that siman, that if you let's say you say Isha before Goy, you're saying it Ba'alpeh, you say Isha before Goy Aved, you wouldn't say Goy and Aved. Is that
right?
Correct?
If you read Islam, you wouldn't. If you mix up the order where there's overlap, or when there is one including the other, right? If you say Zokif Kufufim, that includes Matir Asurim. Matir Asurim is for moving around in bed, Zokif Kufufim is for sitting up. So it's covered already. So then you wouldn't go back. You're right. So it's a question also if a ger has to say shelo asani goy or not. Can he say it? Why? But that's really why we don't say shelo asani Israel. We want to increase. We want to demarcate the different levels of beracha. But more than that, why do we recite these berachot every single day? That's really what's very interesting to me. Now I'm going to give you three approaches and then we'll probably have to call it a night. And you'll have plenty to think about between tomorrow, now and tomorrow morning when you wake up and say these berachot. And it goes like this. The Kaf HaChaim, not the Mishavera, the Kaf HaChaim brings three interpretations or so as to what the Kavana is in these berachot. And I think that they are very worthwhile. I want to share them with you. Number one, he says, I think they're all quoted in the Chidah, maybe one other place, is that I told you, we wake up in the morning and nothing changed, right? It's the same. It's the same berachot. You're the same person. Nothing has really changed, right? How many times are you not created as an Eved, an Isha, or a Goy? And you know what? The answer is every single day. Because a person goes to sleep at night, he davens wake up in the morning, we say, Elohai neshama shenatata b'tehora, Hashem, you gave me my neshama back. We gave Hashem our neshama at night, we get it back in the morning. The idea is that Hashem kept that neshama in a safe for us. He didn't let anyone touch it. Can you imagine if every single night we went to sleep and we woke up in the morning with a different neshama, a different person, or a mixed up neshama? It would be terrible. We say every single morning when we wake up, Baruch Shelo Asani Goy. I don't have the neshama of a goy. Baruch Hashem, I got my neshama back. I didn't get the neshama of an Eved, and I did not get the neshama of an Isha. Baruch Hashem, I got my neshama back. That's explanation number one. It's an appreciation that we have our neshama. But you know, it's also more than that. It's that we could come back as a Gilgul, says the Chidah. If we mess up, if we do certain Averot, the punishment would be that we would be brought back to this world as a Goy, Eved, or Isha. And as such, we thank Hashem. We're not thanking Hashem. We are charging ourselves in the morning. I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm a Yid. I'm not an Isha, I'm not a Goy, and I'm not an Eved. I better act in a way that makes Hashem want to keep it that way. Now, after Me'ev Asim Shana, if I have to come back as a Gilgul, I shouldn't have to come back as something else other than an Ish, other than a Yehudi. Those are very nice explanations. I'll tell you the one that stuck with me the most, and we'll have to stop here.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Specifically as a male Yehudi.
Specifically as a male Yehudi, for the reasons we already explained, that there are more mitzvot available to a male Yehudi than a female. Not because a male is better than a female, but because there's just more opportunity available. They all both have the same level of kedusha, just different opportunities and different roles in this world. Now, moving on to what I think is the most meaningful, in my view, in my opinion, meaningful to me, option, and I think you guys will be able to relate to this also, is simply put, the opinion of Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach was an early commentary on the Rambam, written by a Rishon, Rabbeinu Manoach. He says that every single morning we get up and are going to go out into the world to work. And we're going to leave the yeshiva bubble, leave the shul bubble, where we are around other Yehudim, like-minded individuals with similar goals and aspirations. And we're going to go out and we're going to meet Goyim, Avadim, and Nashim. And we might be impressed by them. We might be taken by what they have to bring to the table. Look at all these people who go to whatever college and look at how much work that they can accomplish and how much they do and how much they learn. Look at this guy. He has a master's and a PhD and he's doing this and that and the other thing. And we might be like, wow, we might be at in admiration of these people. Every single morning we get up in the morning and we say, Baruch Shalom Asani Goy. Everything that he has, everything that he has doesn't come close to the pinky of a person who learns Torah. To the pinky of a person who does mitzvot. Baruch Shalom Asani Eved. I'm not an Eved to my work. I have a life, a real life, where I'm committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Shalom Asani Isha. People think women have it easy. They don't have it easy. We have the opportunities that we have and we should be thankful for them. We should never look and say like, oh, if only we could be like that. I've been at the cafeteria so many times, cafeteria table so many times, when guys talk about how they have so much work and they have no time at all. And if only we were like not Jewish, not to say if only like we really want to be, but like, can you imagine if we weren't really Jewish? Like college would be such a breeze. We'd have so much more time to do all this work. Like, I know what the feeling is like. I know where it comes from. But we have to remind ourselves, every morning we have to remind ourselves that other stuff is not the goal. This is the goal. Torah and mitzvot are the goal. Appreciating our kiddushah is the goal. And using that as a charge to keep going forward is really what Hashem wants from us. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Is Hashem will continue with you the topics.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Chaim. Thank you, Aryeh. Thank you, Matt. Have a Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.